Good morning. Are you ready to make the confession? All this month, we've been laying groundwork of things that we know, but we think we know. And it's always good to go back and look at the things we think we know. Because as time passes, it grows a little dim. And also, too, what it brings in a new, exciting recall of what the Lord has done for all of us. Let's stand to our feet. Let's make the affirmation we have been making since this brand new year started. And the year is already near almost the 8th month. And we're there right now. And how big should the word be in our life? It should be at least that big in our life. Ready? Hold it up and say it with me. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, oh, you're not finished. Do it again. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said,
amen.
Now you can be seated in Jesus' name. All right, let's do this thing. You're going to see an overlapping of the words that I've given throughout the summer. There's been a connection of a continuing in our prayer, a continuing in seeking God, a continuing, as we said last week, of worshiping and singing to the Lord. Psalm 100, verse number 1, says it this way. Make a joyful shout. You're used to hearing a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Here's where I want to just hit you right between the eyes with right now. Verse 2. Know that the Lord, he is God. I've been back and forth on that statement for about 4 or 5 weeks throughout the summer, and everything that I've given you, you could draw the spokes. It comes out of that one word right there. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. I feel today that our world in general, and our world, ourselves, because we're Earth. I believe our world is in deep trouble today because that message is not believed. That one statement, know that the Lord, he is God. Know that. I think all of our problems revolve around that one statement. You can draw the spokes from that statement and touch everything that's important in our lives and in the lives of our nation and in the lives of a family, in the lives of a job, in everything. Know that the Lord, he is God. Know, and I love the way the writing is there. It's not know that the Lord is God. Oh, yeah, he's God. No, no, it is the emphatic. He is God. He is God. He has no pronouns, by the way. He is God. No Christian should be putting pronouns on their Facebook. No Christian should be doing that silly kind of foolishness like that. That is a diversion. That is silliness. That is foolishness right now, because I know this, and don't tell me about all the different kind of genders they've got. If there's a surgery done, they're trying to only do one of the other. They're not doing 18 and 20. Know that the Lord, he is God. I read this statement the other day, and I think this is really true. Most young people think Jesus Christ is just a swear word. They have no idea who Jesus Christ is. And notice this statement. He is not preached enough. He is the most written about character of all time in history. And yet, people go out of their way not to believe him. Billy Graham was right there, wasn't he? Oh, wait, it wasn't Billy Graham. Put up who said that. Watch. Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper is a member of the First Baptist Church of Phoenix, Arizona. The whole thing's a show. It's a money-making thing, and he's done well. He's not preached enough. That was in an interview that he gave with Greg Laurie. I saw it. And because of this reality, our world is in deep trouble. And this is the reason why people are giving up. They don't believe that he is God. They've not heard enough of who he is. He's only a swear word.
But why would she, not knowing exactly what I was doing today, would make a statement this morning about calling that name and hearing that name and what it does? God speaks. God speaks. Every time we gather, there's a continuity thread. Listen for it. Look for it. Look for it. There'll be something there. Sometimes it's stronger than others, but almost every time, and from the moment I'm standing here, from the moment you stand here, and you know that you've got to do there, you are, your radar is on for the continuity. There'll be something that will grab you, and if you're paying attention. But people, because they don't get this, they're in deep trouble in their lives. People are just giving up today. People are just giving up. Heard somebody coming after the Mardi Gras season, and they said, for Lent, I'm just giving up. I'm just giving up. I'm not giving up chocolate. I'm not giving up hamburgers or pizza. I'm just giving up. And people are that way because they don't understand that the Lord, He is God. I want to make a statement to you. You'll hear more than once today. And I wanted to make it a statement that would crystallize what I'm trying to do in the next few minutes. In your deep trouble, there is a place of deep deliverance. You got it? In your deep trouble, there is a place of deep deliverance. And it can be found if you decide to go deep in God. Pretty good, huh? Nothing you are facing surprises God. Here's what I can tell you. God's never taken by surprise. You never hear God say, oh, I never saw that coming. So the church bulletin said the church prophecy class is going to be postponed this week due to unforeseen circumstances. Nothing surprises God. Here's another statement I want you to remember. God had the solution before you had the problem. God had the solution before you had the problem. And because God is God, He always will be God. Sometimes we really wonder, where is God? I believe all that, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. I'm lost right now. Back many, many years ago, it's one of those traditional songs. Don't know exactly where it came from. It started in probably some of the old churches, out in the Brush Arbor camp meeting days. It started there. It had life in that. It had life in old gospel music. It had life in the etymology of the black church coming out of Azusa Street and William Seymour. It was a traditional thing, and everybody sang it, and it was a little bit different. Everybody sang it a little bit different, and it was a big Sunday school song for little kids. I remember singing, He's God in the fiery furnace, He's God in the lion's den, He's God over all creation, and He's God in the hearts of men. Oh, children, God is God, and He always will be God. And we would sing that. The funny thing about God is God, through time and through circumstance and through what people have gone through and even through Revelation, verses are added. You can find about 30 verses. You can find, and it's really, really fun. And I wrote down a few. He's God on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. And He's always will be God. He's God all over the floor. He's God of the Hebrew children. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God in the fiery furnace. He is the God of the great I am. I like this one. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder roars. He's God way up in heaven, and He's God way down in my soul. Oh, children, God is God. And people would start, and they'd write these things, and it took up a life of its own. He's God on the ocean. He's God on the sea. He's God over all creation, and He's God all over me. There's probably about 30 of them. He was God at the River Jordan. He was God when Adam fell. He's God way up in heaven, and He's the God that saves from hell. Oh, children, God is God. Are you getting the message? Whatever you say, ever how you rhyme it, ever how you write it, the truth remains the same. God is God, and He always will be God. One of the last verses, I think it's the last verse this month. He's God is God, and God will never change. But first off, you got to know that God is God. This has been my thread for 5 weeks, whether it's about prayer, whether it's about worship, whether it's about the growth in our life of reading the word. You got to know that first. David said that, what we read a minute ago in Psalm 100. Hebrews picked up the theme in Hebrews 11, the great chapter. For he who comes to God must first believe, as I'll add that word to it, must first believe that he is. My premise today, the problems in our world, the problems in our life, we sometimes forget that God is God and he always will be God. We believe that he is, and it is in his capacity, it is in his nature, it is in his love to be the rewarder of those who, I love this word, diligently. Your 90-minute drive-by this morning is sweet. It's appreciative. But it will not sustain you over the long run any more than your breakfast did this morning or your dinner last night. And when people forget that, they lose their way. They lose their capacity in discernment and understanding. C.S. Lewis said it this way: once people stop believing in God, the problem is not that they will believe in nothing, but rather the problem is that they believe anything. We have lived in a time right now where people have believed anything. They have believed anything. They have believed anything. I'm restraining right now because of the timeline. But they'll believe anything right now. When we finally wake up and realize some of the things we've been walking through and living through, some of these things are intentional. Most of these things are intentional. They know the truth. Media knows the truth. Real science knows the truth. What you're hearing is not science, it's propaganda. But we need discernment. The desire to ruin people like you, to take away your retirement money, to make it hard for you to travel, to make it uncomfortable. They've already got a whole element they control, and there's a group above them, but it's the saints of God that fill the churches. If we can close the churches, we'll open Walmart, but if we can close the churches, if we can close the churches, yeah, but we need the bars to keep people even and steadied out during the time. No, just do the math there. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And the people that are telling you we can't afford electricity to do things want you to buy those cars that take an hour and a half to charge up and won't get you to Pensacola in one charge. They want to stop, restrict your movement. And the very same people that are doing that have invested in the energy companies of China and around the world, and they're not putting them under ESG things. If you knew how much it took and what the little children labor is going on around the world for the battery in their car, it's the same thing. If Planned Parenthood was killing puppies, it would have. You understand? We'll believe anything right now because we think we're noble. My old friend Sandra Crouch wrote the song that comes to my mind so much. We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If you don't speak, we don't know what we'll do. And I'm here to tell you that he is still speaking. And we need to hear him speak because we're fighting evil. Let me define evil. Evil at any level is the enemy of God. Evil at any level is the enemy of God. And more than ever, we need him to speak to us. Some of you are in snake pits in jobs. Some of you in situations, and you need God to speak to you. And you need to be smart. You need to use your mind that he gave you. But then you need that extra kick of knowing what the word is. And let me just say this to you. Do not be afraid to expect God to speak. Religion keeps you in the mindset, well, you know, you're just nothing here, and God, you know, God quit speaking when the Bible was finished. God speaks today. God speaks today. God speaks in a few weeks. I'm 10 ways God speaks. I'm going to do that down the road a little bit. Don't be afraid to expect God to speak. Our world is deep trouble because we've neglected, we've ignored, we've even ridiculed the concept that God could speak. And by the way, when we are getting ridiculed, they're really ridiculing God. And he'll take care of things. That corrupted henfest on The View, the one with the smart mouth, someone was talking to the other, and a Christian person a few months ago. The person said, "Yeah, I just felt God wanted me to do something." "Really, God?" And it was a Christian. "Well, it's one thing to pray," she said. Here's the quote, "but it's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's called mental illness." That's the quote. Our old pal Mark Sharona responded to that this way. "In light of those who claim Jesus speaking makes them mentally ill, that means Saul of Tarsus, Augustine, Jerome, Francis of Assisi, just to name a few, suffered from severe mental illness because God spoke to them." So we must ignore two things, the crush and the crash of the culture that comes against us. We must ignore that. We need more understanding of and in God's word. We need to have a Samuel mindset that makes this statement, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." We did that a couple years ago, that young boy. "Speak, Lord." Have you ever just said that? Drive down the road and say that sometimes. "Speak, Lord, I'm listening. Speak, Lord." A lot of times we stop at the comma. "Speak, Lord," and we're too busy doing our other thing. "I'm listening." In the beginning, in the creation, the earth was created in righteousness. There was a natural order. There was a moral order there. That was true reality because God looked at it and pronounced that it was good. God spoke to his creation. And even he spoke at length with Adam. He had dialogue with Adam. It wasn't monologue. It was dialogue with Adam. It was meaningful. But then there came a time where Adam was so accustomed to what was going on there, and his mind and his ear was turned, that it was man's sin that broke the line of conversation with God. Adam thought nothing of God speaking. He heard his voice. God loved spending that time with him. But when he stepped away, it was sin that broke that conversation. It was sin that broke the confidence that he knew that God could speak. And it was sin that broke the connection between man and God. And then man was on his own. It was decided at that point that man's duty through his free will was going to be, if you want something from God, you must believe he is and you must pursue him. God said, "You want to do this?" Today, to remedy this, to reconnect with our original founding. During July, we talked about our natural founding in our nation. And if this can be stopped, it can all be stopped. But I want to talk deeper than that. Our founding, when he breathed in us, and said it's good. And that sin that separated us from God breaks the communication. In a relationship, sin breaks the communication. In a child, disobedience breaks the communication. You want to go back to the original setting? The deeper connection? It has to be in a deeper place. If you're in deep trouble, there is a place of deep deliverance. You've heard it already. And believing that he is, we must desire a deeper walk. We must desire a deeper touch in that deeper place. That's where we will find him. The scripture is full of stories, and I know natural stories we've read of people in these deep, troubling moments of their lives called out on God. But here's a story that I really love, of receiving from God in a deep place. Matthew 5. "So it was,
As the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret, meaning the Sea of Galilee, by the way, he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And these weren't two old guys he didn't know, by the way, but he was going to appropriate a ride. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to push out a little bit from the land. He's basically saying, lend me your boat right now. Give me this. And we're going to see a little later on in the story that God had more planned than just the borrowing of the boat. If he'd have said, look, I'm through for the day, he'd have lost a blessing that you can't believe. God had planned more than just the face value of this request. It said he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. By the way, Jesus must have had a voice. He must have had a voice to stand on the side of a hill in the projection of a sound, to be able to sit in a boat away. Y'all go to the beach and y'all are yelling at each other from 10 feet away. You can't hear anything. It must have been something, a combination of an eerie calm, a respect, a sound. But he must have had a voice. I mean, he must have had the ability to project and to push forth. I mean, it's a sound. And notice this. When he stopped speaking, he had used their boat to get to a podium type feel that he could preach a platform, so to speak, to give the word. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch. New Living Translation says it this way, now go where it's deeper. Now, if you'll remember, we read just a few moments ago, he said, we've already closed down for the day. They were cleaning their nets. Oh, by the way, you need to know this. God does his best work in the deep. I'm in deep trouble. I'm afraid. I'm overwhelmed. I'm depressed. You know, some statistic was released the other day. I heard it going on radio down the road, listened to it, and they claim that young teen girls, and I forgot what they were, but it's the teenage group there, that something about 57% of them are in these things of depression. I'll tell you why they're depressed. They're looking at these social media things. They're trying to be like that, and that's fake anyway. They call them influencers now. You think they don't know? They call them influencers. Influencers. And there's so many things. And actually, and then there's a mindset now that you've not really arrived unless you have some real horrible things you're working through. We all had things we worked through. We all had things we worked through. Heard the kid said to his mom and dad, he said, man, I'm bored right now. He said, you got to be kidding. He said, your grandparents didn't know where I was from 1985 to 1991. Go get a stick and go outside. But it's kind of cool. It's a badge if you can have that thing there going on. And they listen to those songs in the radio about the getting jilted and things like, oh, my Lord. And those are the clean ones. And they listen. And it's a badge to have a malady. It's a badge to belong to a group. But God does his best work in the deep. It's the deep things that speak to us, and he's speaking in our spirit. Psalm 36 says it this way. He said, your judgments are a great deep. Psalm 92, he said, your thoughts are very deep. In fact, before that, he said, your great are your works, O God. Your thoughts are very deep. You do great things in the deep. Psalm 95:4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are with him also. Psalm 135, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the sea and in all, say all the deep places. He does his best work in the deep. Oh, it's impossible right now. I'm in a deep... God, this is for me. He does his best work. Go deep. Go deep. I'm weary. Go deep. Go deep. All of us have that football fever again. We're all believers now, aren't we? We always are near July and the end of July going in. We're all believers by this time. We're just believing. We're seeing visions of sugar plums dancing in our head. We're seeing new rings on our finger. We're seeing those things.
I'm happy about the way things are right now. I do have some concerns right now, but right now everybody's optimistic. What's the most dramatic? The most dramatic play. We'd be kids there. We'd be in the grass, and somebody's a rock, somebody's a bottle cap, and we hear you do this and do that, and they always want, you go deep. You go, and that boy, that was the go-to play. You want to do something and hear something from God? Got to go deep. Back to our story, verse 4. It said, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down. And he's going to explain why he can't do what Jesus asked him to do. Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night. By the way, the logic of the nighttime fishing was that the fish can't see the nets. Got it? They went fishing at night. The fish can't see the nets. The daylight is shining through the water. They throw the net. They see something coming on there. The light changes. They're gone right there. It's not logical to throw your net during that time. God's never been worried about your logic, by the way. He said, we've toiled all night, the best time. I'm a pro at this, Jesus. I do this. We've caught nothing. But even in his thing, there was something inside of him that really believed that he was, and he was a rewarder. I don't think he even dreamed what God was going to drop in his lap. And notice this word that you guys need to learn this. God, I've been praying this prayer over and over. I hadn't gotten any results from this. He said, pray again. You don't understand. Notice the word that Peter said. Nevertheless, you want something deep? You need to have a nevertheless. I know I've tried this already. I'm going to do it again. I will let down my net at your word. And here's what I really like. He said, nevertheless, at your word. Notice it wasn't impulse. It wasn't presumption. It wasn't immaturity. It wasn't even arrogance. He said, based on your word. I'm going to tell you something. You've learned a pattern right here. At your word, I stand on this. At your word, I pray about this. At your word, I do this. What's the word say? What's the word say? What's the word say? At your word. And said, when they had done this, I really wish there was more detail here because I see it in my head. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so much that they began to sink. Troy, how'd you like to have that haul, babe? There was so much fish there. Oral Roberts had a very famous sermon. You could probably find it on YouTube somewhere. And and the title of his sermon was A Net Breaking, Boat Sinking Load. And he would say that all the time. God's going to give you a net-breaking, boat-sinking load. And it comes from obeying the words of Jesus. And it also starts with the concept, a lot can be said about giving what you have to God of yourself. I want your boat. I want your lunch. But more important, I want your life. I want your heart to believe. Didn't take a rocket scientist to know what had happened. You got to like Peter, man. You just really got to like this guy. He was emotional. He's a little Italian in him, probably. He was emotional. He used his hands. He was a little loud. Saw those pictures of Italian people there at a restaurant eating lunch. And their hands are flying. They're all red in the face. And the guy said, they're not mad. They're just talking. They're just talking. And he was so emotional. He was up and down. You know, God had to love him. Jesus looked at him and said, "This one—he's a kick. He's a work in progress, but I love him." It said, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the knees of Jesus and he said, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man.'" Wow. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Also, there was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon. Now watch, Jesus always takes something and he turns a corner to teach a lesson. He said, don't be afraid. But this was probably the first time the statement was ever said, I'll give you bigger fish to fry.
He said, for now you will catch men. And when they brought their boats back to land, one translation says immediately, they forsook all, they followed him. The statement again comes to you, in your deep trouble, there is a place of deep deliverance. This comes from knowing, even when we can't see it, that God is God and he always will be God. The disciples found their miracle in that deep place. By the way, it was away from their comfort zone of the shore. They had to push out. They had to push away. This is where the faith is. This is where the understanding is found. This is where the big catch can be realized. And this is huge. The concept runs through all of Scripture of God dealing with people who would deeply seek him and deeply honor him. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. This concept deals with the condition of our heart and the depth of our real sincerity toward him. It's not outward, it's not cosmetic, it is an inside thing. And these messages, I hope, have reminded you of your initial experience of salvation, or maybe another experience where he gave you a special touch, or a time when there was healing that came to you, a miraculous thing when you look back and say, only God could have done that. I hope these messages have reminded you that and given you that great feeling again. Remind yourself of God's goodness. And when you felt you were deep in over your head, something deep happened in your life. His name was Samuel Francis. He was born in London, England. He was a depressed teenager. He was suicidal. He was standing on a bridge to jump into the Thames River to end his life. And while he is on the bridge, the Spirit of God overtakes him. His name was Samuel Francis, overtook him. This is in about 1850, 860, somewhere in that area right there. And there he's getting ready to make that jump. And something miraculous, something deep and wild takes over him. And God sovereignly touches him. Changed his life at that moment. He went on through the rest of his life. He had lived in deep darkness all of his youth life. He came on to be a successful businessman. He went on to be a writer. He wrote special things to help God's people. He wrote hymns. He wrote that majestic sound, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, and free. But as a teenager in deep depression, the deep love of Jesus grabbed him. What a majestic hymn. It's a strong driving thing. You ought to find it and listen to it. You might have to look for it. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast and unmeasured, boundless and free. Great song. God spoke to the deepest need that Samuel Francis had. And the word went deep. Sometimes God will give us a deep word and we don't allow it to go deep. And God is still speaking. Today he speaks to our deep seeking. It's a spirit conversation. Remember the story back we did of Job a few years ago. He was going back and forth. He got angry at some of his friends. Then one of the other young men came. He was trying to decide what to say. But what he actually said to him is something we need to understand who we are. We're people. We breathe. We walk. We eat. We drink. We cry. We weep. We sleep. We get weary. We laugh. We roll in the good times and in the bad. And we don't know sometimes how things are working out in our lives. But Job 32 verse 8. Talking about hearing God's voice. In fact, I'm going to talk more in 2 weeks about hearing God's voice, by the way, and I'll actually use this scripture again. It said, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of Almighty God, that gives them understanding. And into the spirit that God has breathed, he will speak into that spirit. In this danger zone in our life, we must be ready. We must be steady. We must be alert. We must be faith-filled. We must be aware. We must be vigilant. Do not be afraid, even in the upheaval
that seems even unfair and unexplainable right now, in your deep trouble, there is a place of deep deliverance.
Go deep.
He's there. Here's my go-to. I pick up in that same chapter right before I read the other verse. 1 Corinthians 2, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And now you read this, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For it is the Spirit that searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Where is God? Go deep.
Where is God? Go deep. Listen up. Go deep. Live faithful. Go deep. Launch out. Go deep.
Lower your nets. Notice that obedience thing. They could have stayed in the boat. The action of following, lower your net, go deep, and then linger in the deep. That's your praise. That's your worship. Why do you do all these things? Because he speaks to our deepest needs. Because God is God, and he always will be God. Stand up.